Hallelujah. Thank the Lord, He's been good. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you want to overcome evil, do what now? Overcome it with how? You overcome evil with good? Now, how can that be? I thought you fight fire with fire. He said, overcome evil with good. Jesus went about doing good everywhere he went, and they crucified him. But he overcome it. He was an overcomer. He said, we are more than overcomers through him, through his goodness that strengthens me. He's been good. Let's go to the word of the Lord and teaching this morning. I do want to take my time this morning. And when I say that, I mean, I'm going to teach a lesson this morning, and I can't possibly do it justice in 30 minutes. So I'm going to take like a part one and a part two and a part ever how many. I'm just going to keep going with this subject until the Lord says it's enough. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. And I just want to slow down this morning and talk till my time has expired, and then I'll pick it up next time I speak on Sunday morning. Seeing then, amen, right there, that's a, oh my God, right there, seeing, be the able to see. Seeing then that we have such hope. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Thank God, I like to know how things end. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read the law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. It's capital Spirit. A lot of spirits in the world. But the Lord is that Spirit. It is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wow, this is what he was anointed to do, set at liberty them that are captive. So if his Spirit is there, if the anointing is there, we need to have those things he says he can do. But we all of us with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, if you will, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What he's saying is we are changed from the glory of the law into the glory of the grace by his Spirit. Amen. I want to talk and teach about reflection of perfection. Now, I want to talk about this for a while. Reflection of perfection. God, I ask you to come down this morning. If the veil is in anybody's mind and in their hearts, the word says if they'll turn to you, you will remove the veil. So this morning, help them to make up their mind and their hearts to turn to you. And when you do, they do, you will take away the veil that they may see the glory of God like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. See, the glory of the Bible lets us know that the Old Testament, the law was glorious. In its day, it was glorious. It's much like turn all the lights off. And if we light a candle, it's pretty glorious. Yeah, it's like, I could read this. It was glorious in its day. But then when these lights come on, the glory of the candle went away. It's not that it wasn't glorious in its day. I don't see any of you riding in wagons to church. But it was glorious in its day. It was glorious. Man, I got me a wagon. Come see my wagon. Boy, you got that iron all shined up, you know, and we got some pretty horses. Now it's horse power. Yeah, without the horse. And we still shining our wheels, though. Chrome wheels, you know. And in its day, the wagon and the buggy and the chariot was glorious. But Lord, today, it's not so glorious. What's wrong? And so that's the Old Testament, the law. It's not that it wasn't glorious, but Lord, when grace came, the law went, blew that out. Because it was just, it was not important anymore except to know it. All right, so I want to talk about reflection of perfection. We live in a time today where it almost looks like living for God doesn't work. Come on, let's get real, okay? Can this church be real? It looks like many times, I'm not saying you particularly, but just look around at all the churches and all the trouble and all the people and all of the things that go on in the world, go on in the church too. Embezzlement goes on in churches just like it goes on in the world. Adulterous affairs go on in the church just like they do in the world. Suicide goes on just like it does in the world. Everything that goes on in the world seems to go on in the church. And it almost looks like living for God doesn't work. The truth is, the reason that it doesn't work for some people is they're not truly living for God. They're not a reflection of perfection. They are a reflection of the world and not a reflection of God. A reflection can go for generations, you know. Since God is a spirit, he cannot be seen. No one here has seen God. The Bible even says that no man has seen God because he would not live. Moses saw a reflection of God, an image of God. Abraham saw a reflection of God. Amen. But not the very thing of God. So how can the invisible actually be seen? And the best analogy that we could use in this case is light, because the Bible speaks in the Genesis of the New Testament. You know, there's an Old Testament Genesis and there's a New Testament Genesis. And John was that New Testament Genesis. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Just like the Old Testament, but we're talking about the New Testament. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And all things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. Now watch. And the life was the light. I just happened to carry around this light. So you didn't even know it. You could stand back. And so his life was the light of men. And the life that Christ had became visible in men. How do you like this retractable thing I got? It's pretty cool, huh, brother? You could do a colonoscopy with this. Yeah. See? All right. Yeah, now. And his life was the light of men. Yeah. And the light shineth in dark places. The bug down there. I didn't even know that bug was, he's dead, but I didn't know he was down there until the light. I'm not kidding you. It's really there. But you couldn't see it until the light began to separate out. Because in darkness, you can't separate things out. But the light came, and all of a sudden, vision came, visibility came. And now I like this, I don't like this, I love this, I hate this, I got to get out of this some way, somehow. I'm not doing this anymore. It began to separate things out. What else is down there? Better quit looking. The Bible said, talks about the light came, and men did not comprehend it. They did not understand it. So he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Come on, John. Whose name was John. And you stay down there, John. Come on. And as John walked, the light shined on John. He was not the light, but the light shined on John. So much so, they said, are you the light? Keep walking, John. Are you the Christ? And he said, no, I'm not the Christ. I am a witness of the Christ. For there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear. I do indeed baptize you unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. I must decrease that he might increase. I must get out of the light that the real light, that I won't cause confusion as to who the real light is. John was not the light, the Bible says, but the light shined on him and he became a reflection of perfection. So that if you saw John, and he said, I'm a voice, so that if you heard John, you heard the Lord. Because he was a reflection of that heavenly perfection. My. Jesus said, I am with you and I shall be in you. And you and I should be not only a reflection of perfection in this regard, but it should be coming out of us, for we are enlightened. The Bible talks about being enlightened with his spirit. It becomes in us so that he sends them out and said, ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah. You swallow a light, it'll keep shining for a while. Have you ever seen these lights in the sky, you know, and they're going, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's these beams of light that like advertisers use, and you go, and you drive around for blocks and blocks, and where is that coming from, you know? And you get over there, it's the circus, and they're trying to draw you to the dealership or to the circus as they advertise, and you see, and boy, those people that advertise like that, they like a cloudy night. Because you, how many of you see the light? You see the light? No. No, you don't. You only see the reflection. You can't see. God is a spirit, so that you can't see light. You see reflections of the light. As the light hits an object, it bends the light so that you can see that there's a light somewhere. If it weren't for dust particles in this country we live in, you wouldn't even see that light going like this. The reason you see that light is because of all of the dust and the particles that are in the air. It reflects it back so that you can see it. So that when Christ came, he was a reflection on John the Baptist. So that they would see him and they would know God through him. It drew men. He could be in the wilderness. It didn't matter. And people drove from everywhere, if you will. They were looking for where is that light? And they went into the wilderness. I'm telling you, we're thinking about maybe relocating our church and all this, and maybe that'll help. But I want to tell you the truth. If the church ever really gets on fire, it doesn't matter where you locate it at. It doesn't matter where you locate it at, because people will come. So we look here, our eyes beheld him, it said. The truth and the spirit became flesh. So in the Genesis of the New Testament, there's also the Genesis in the Old Testament. And I want a little bit about the principles of reflection and perfection. Because the first thing that God said in a dark and a void world was what? Let there be light. And as soon as there was light, then he began to divide things. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. But then he began to separate things out, the firmaments and so forth and so on. He began to separate these things out so that they were no longer in the darkness. It doesn't matter. You can't see anything. But when light comes, you begin to divide things. You can be my friend, but you can't. I can go here, but I can't go there. You see, you begin to divide things when you have light. But when you abide in darkness, it don't matter where you go. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter who you sleep with. It don't matter. It doesn't matter because you're in darkness. But the visibility of the invisible became obvious when the light came on. And so we see that men in the New Testament preferred darkness when Christ came. But in the Old Testament Genesis, the light was such a glorious thing because it gave life to man, right? In him was life, and his life was the light of Adam. Oh, God, this is going somewhere. So that in the fourth day, it says that he created in the firmaments, he created the heavens. He gave a heavenly light, and he gave one for the earth. He gave one the greater light, he said, would rule the day, we know as the sun, S-U-N, and he gave a lesser light to rule the night, which, and he also, the Bible says, made the stars. And God set them in this firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Just as John the Baptist was not the light, the moon is not the light. But it is a reflection of the light. If you were on the moon and you look back to the earth, you will find the same thing, that the earth is a reflection. It's not the light, but it is a reflection of the light. It is a witness that the light is on, so that if I see the moon, I know there's a light somewhere. Hallelujah. If I see the glow of the moon, I know there's a sun still shining somewhere. I don't have to see the sun to know it's still alive. And people don't have to see Christ. They ought to see you and know that he's still alive and that he's still shining and he still works and it still pays to live for God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it does. John the Baptist was in the spotlight, but he was only a reflection of the light. And you and I should also be reflections of the light. Have you ever seen a reflector? A lot of people, they have a hard time knowing where to turn in on their dark driveway. You know, they'll go stick a reflector. Honey, if there ain't no light shining, it doesn't reflect anything. It doesn't reflect anything. And some people's lives don't reflect anything concerning God, because they're not in the light. But as soon as those headlights turn and it hits, oh, there's my turn right there. There it is right there. And you know it because it is a reflection of the perfection. It's not the light. But if the light hits it, you're going to know that the light is still there. Oh, my God. Jesus came and he become not only a reflection, but he became the light. Oh, stay with me this morning. And he used us as a witness of the light. Jesus was on one side, he was Mary's boy. He was the earth. And on the other side, he was God's boy. He was the sun, if you will. He was both the full moon and the sun too. So that he could tell Philip, if you've seen me, the earthly, you've seen the Spirit, the Father too. Amen. Hallelujah. He was both of them in one flesh. Are you with me? And a born again experience should give us the same results. If you've seen me, you ought to say, I know God's alive. Because God is in you, the hope of glory. That's what the born again experience is all about. So if I see the moon, I know there's the sun. I don't have to see the sun to know that it's going and it's still burning, because if I see the moon, I know there's the sun. So that if I see people living for God, walking uprightly, amen, living a righteous life, there's a God somewhere. And since God is the Spirit, you can't see it except I see it in you. I see how you live. I see how you transact business. I see all the attributes of God should be manifested in you. And we've already declared in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God is the Spirit. No man has seen God at any time, but we are reflections of God throughout the ages of time. God's Spirit is infinite. Can you say amen? It's infinite. Amen. God can give you some of his Spirit and never miss it. He's not going to run out of anything. He's omni-everything. He doesn't run out of anything. Amen. Now, as a man, he said, I felt virtue go out. But as God, it was like, How much do you need? I got it all. Hallelujah. And so God already had a spirit before he ever, now listen close, before he ever formed man and breathed in him, God already had his spirit. How do I know that? Before he ever breathed in Adam and he became a living soul, Adam got all the attributes that God had, and God had the spirit of a man before he ever breathed into Adam. Yes, he did. The Bible says that Christ was hid in God from the foundations of the earth. Christ was hid in God so that God had all the attributes of a man. So when he breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. Watch this. He had love. God has love. God had hate, jealousy. Huh? He had all the attributes of a man. And when he breathed into Adam, he just took on the attributes that God had. How many times the Bible said that God was angry, had wrath? He's a jealous God. All God loves, God hates, all these things. So he breathed on Adam and he raised up. He had all the attributes of God because Christ was hid in God from the foundation. I don't know if this is too deep for y'all. The breath of God has always represented the Spirit of God. So that when God breathed into Adam, now you could see God. Because he was the image of God. So that now you could see how God was thinking, how God was